This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Ugh, you said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. Listed in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope, but I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, hope you're all getting settled into your trees and that your archery equipment is dialed in tight. So you probably all have noticed that we've been pulling some episodes for the Range Podcast from the vault simply because it's that time of year and we are just super busy right now. But I wanted to jump on here real quick and just say that I'd like to squeeze in an episode of Arrow Loose. We recorded a few weeks ago with country music singer and musician Mitch Gordon. And unfortunately, the receiver for our mics was kind of wonky, and so our audio came through kind of goofy. It took me a little while to get the episode edited, but it was a great conversation, and so I hope you'll stick around. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Range Podcast. I'm Ricky Brewley, and with me is Jake Hollywood Iverson. Join us at the Archery Range, where we'll tell stories from the hunt, discuss technical bow shooting tactics and gear, and pick the brains of some of the most successful people to ever shoot a bow. Whether you're about to shoot that X for the win or send an arrow at a trophy buck, this podcast is for you. The Range Podcast is brought to you by Vapor Trail Archery, makers of the best bowstrings money can buy, originators of limb-driven arrow rest technology, and innovators of stokerized stabilizer systems.
Welcome to The Range, everybody. I'm your host, Ricky Brewley, and I'm standing here with the one and only country music star, Mitch Gordon, and we're at the Silver Creek Sportsman's Club shooting our bows this morning. Thank you all for joining us. Thanks for coming along, Mitch. Appreciate you coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for making the drive out to my country.
It's going to be fun. And then, of course, we can't We can't forget about Mr. Damon Wolf here behind us. He's actually going to be shooting a bow instead of a camera today, so this is pretty exciting. I'm really, really stoked for this. So with what we've talked about already, we probably could have recorded a full episode, so we figured we better get this thing going.
It's very true.
Mm-hmm. I always feel like, yeah, like podcasting or video, it's like, just start recording.
Yeah.
Right? You can get so much material right away.
Yeah.
Especially, exactly. I mean, we've never hung out, and I've never met Damon, so
yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. Meeting new people and shooting our bows and having a good old time, so.
That's right.
Here we go.
In the morning.
Are we all shooting at the same one, or?
I'll go.
I go to the shaded spot.
The one in front of me is 35.
I'm gonna shoot at the top right dot.
This one's 35.
I'll shoot top right dot.
All right, I'll shoot middle.
Anybody else leave their windows open all night last night? That's awesome.
Not me.
I knew it was gonna be cold, and I was just like, I'm embracing this, man. This is great.
The challenge here.
Never know when the sun's gonna be in your eyes in the woods, fellas.
It's a good shot, Ricky.
Yeah, man, I've been lights out. I feel so good. I haven't shot this good in a decade. I'm gonna attribute it to the stiffness of the riser of this Prime Form 34.
Oh, here we go. I'm outnumbered already today. I actually had a Matthews Tri-X for years, and I just loved everything about the bow. Shot it well. I would like to know if, like, it had a round clicker on it, how many rounds I've actually shot through that bow.
Oh yeah,
like, I would really love to know.
That was a really cool shot.
Dude,
you see that?
Cool. Yeah,
in my sight housing, it was just like, that was cool, because I set the arrow in the grass. I think that's why. I bet this one will do it if you guys want to watch.
Yeah.
See all that rain?
Yeah.
Or rain water.
Way cool.
It's cool. It must be laying your arrows in the
grass. I put them in the grass right here.
It's way cool.
So Mitch, tell all the listeners a little bit about yourself. Like, kind of what got you, what's your origin story when it comes to hunting with a bow? And then, you know, talk a little bit about yourself and your family.
So obviously I kind of grew up just doing the whole, like, shotgun thing, you know, with my dad. Not, they just did it, you know, when it was just a two weekend kind of thing, you know, so the first weekend, second weekend. And then when I was about 10, my parents went and they bought some land up by Osage, Minnesota, west of Park Rapids. And yeah, like, I met the guy that we bought the land from. There, his grandkids lived like on the other side of the property, and they had bows, and I was 10 and they were 11 and 12, so like instantly buddies, right? And they had matching bows, matching setups, and their older brothers hunted, so that kind of got me kind of hooked. Went to the archery shop, bought my first PSE, and
PSE was your first rig?
That was my first rig. Yeah, spent my lawn mowing money on that.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of what got me into it, and then just literally started from there. And I think ever since then, like,
thank you.
Ever since then, it's been exactly just that, as far as shooting bows. Like, I just became addicted, right? I remember I shot bows like every day for years, like, and still do.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of an addiction that you can share with friends or share with complete strangers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of my deal. I mean, and then those guys honestly got me into elk hunting, and I mean, it just progressed from there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you've had some success in the elk woods.
Yeah. It's been a struggle, but, I shot my first cow elk last fall.
Heck yeah, man.
So it's, never,
what state?
It's one more elk than I've shot.
Colorado.
So. Colorado.
I have some buddies that live out there, so it makes it really easy. And that time I've invested going out there the past 6 years, how much you learn, right? Like, I feel like whenever I hear somebody's like, "Oh, I'm going elk hunting for the first time," there's a big whitetail guy, like, they kind of dive deep into it and they think you know what you're doing. Then you get out there and you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. So we've been into elk every year, and I've been the only one not to release an arrow.
So,
it was kind of like a dagger as far as like, dang, like, when's it gonna be my time, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, last year I got to release my first arrow and
you hit the mark.
Yeah, it was a cool opportunity, but you guys know like how hard it is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like people watch the TV shows and this and that, and it's, you might not hear a bugle in 5 days. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's one of the most disheartening things, right? Like especially if you get out there and they're talking and you're like, oh, this is great.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they just stop. Like, what
the heck? Right. So there's a lot of different levels to it, and you know, I have buddies that go on like 5 day guided hunts, you know, and they're like, oh man, there's bugles every day. I'm like, you have like, that's awesome, but like you have no idea what it's like to do just over the counter.
Right.
You know, and be in the hunt with everybody. So yeah, it was a cool day.
Dime shot, Ricky.
Yeah, and I don't even have my stabilizer on.
Yeah, it was a day eight, and we were going into the spot where we saw this big bull that morning. We ran into some guys, and then those guys actually killed that morning. We met them packing out as we were packing in.
Oh, right on.
And that day, and I was like, oh dang. And I'm like, I looked at the bull though, and I was like, that wasn't the bull we saw this morning. So I was optimistic. So we went again the next morning below the mountain, and we got in there, and the guys I was hunting with, I met the one guy past year one time. And I met his buddy this year, so I hunted with them kind of blindly, and we were walking up the mountain, and I heard some stick snap, and when you're in the elk woods, like, you hear a stick snap, and you're like, oh, like, yeah, that's...
Bear elk.
that's a big snap, right? Mm-hmm. And one guy's like, oh, that's a hunter. I'm like, I don't think so, but I'll go along with it. Heard it again, I'm like, definitely an animal. He's like, it's a hunter. I'm like, all right. Kept walking up. I'm like, nope, that's an elk. Came down at, like, 20 yards and froze. And then I drew at... when he was at like 12 yards, he was coming in frontal on me, and he looked at me for like a minute, or she looked at me for like a minute, and then she turned like just barely frontal, kind of quartering to me, and I knew it was like, that was time or ever to stick it frontal right below the shoulder,
yeah,
or right on front, on left, right side of the shoulder, and all I saw was fletchings like sticking out, and I was like, yep, did it, like I did it. So like, all right, we gotta wait. And I was like, I understand I have to wait, but that, like, I did it. Yeah.
I did it.
I love that.
She's dead.
That's a good feeling, man. You know, like having that confidence. So often I quickly start second guessing everything.
Oh yeah.
I start going down a crazy path.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, okay, calm down. I need somebody there to like talk me off the ledge. Like, just everything's good.
Right.
It's just,
yeah, dude.
It's just, you know, try to talk about something, get your mind off it or whatever, but you can't. You're just like,
you have to like go back to camp.
And then that happened, and then, oh my God, you know.
You have to go back to camp. You gotta like,
just chill.
Eat a sandwich, talk about like something else, call your wife, whatever, and mm-hmm. then it's like, okay, then hopefully enough time's passed where you can start thinking about it again.
Yeah.
I think a lot of guys don't have is like, not just in that, but patience in general. Like, from the shot to like hunting, drawing back, like on that cow, like a shot, like patience, right? Everybody gets so worked up, and that's when they make bad shots happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's when you make a bad shot, or you, like I said, tracking, you bump it. But like, there's so many guys that don't shoot their bows, right? I'm just saying in bow in general. Mm-hmm. And then they come to the range and they shoot their three arrows and they're like, yep, good from last year. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, this might be calling out some people, so I'm sorry, but I truly love shooting my bow, but like the practice you have for shooting your bow in all the situations, you learn as being a hunter over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just patience. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes you a better shot, a hunter, woodsman, whole deal, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's, you can kill a deer, you can kill an animal, that's one step.
For me, like,
go along with it, right?
For me, dude, practice isn't like coming out here and shooting isn't to, okay, yeah, you got to get a sight tape and yeah, you should put take the dust off of it and like make sure it still works. Like that's an aspect of it, but part of it is just like sitting here drawing back, releasing a good shot and watching it go in the middle and doing that like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. So when the animal's in front of you, like you don't even think about it.
Yep.
And there's this thing like a lot of the deer I've shot, like it's almost like a, it's like a blackout where it's just like the deer's in there and he's coming and it's just like draw back, anchor, settle, release. And it like lands where you want it. And then it's like over and you don't even remember, like in that moment, I don't even like really remember what's happening. It's just like a natural, like, but you get that from shooting hundreds of arrows of just, you know what your anchor feels like, you know what your release feels like, you know what the shot should do.
Yeah.
And then when you're in that moment, it's like, you kind of like, it's like a automatic, you're like a robot.
You want it to be automatic, but you also, when you're in the moment, you're going to forget.
Oh yeah, 100%.
A few things, right? And I think like the practice thing with, you do have to have a few common things when you are in the woods, right? Like for me, like I can keep a glove in my left hand, but I know when I shoot, there has to be no glove on my
right. Ask Ricky about that in North Dakota.
Yeah, I can't have a glove on my right hand.
We're spot and stalking mule deer and
hands
like
frozen.
We'd get to sub 50 and he's like, has the glove off and he's like shoving his hand in his hand warmer, like trying to keep it warm.
I had my release in my pocket with my hand warmers. And so I would pull my release out and it was almost too hot to hold. But yeah, I can't, I'm the same, exactly the same way. And then like going back to kind of what Damon was saying too, like, yeah, I mean, I can honestly say, you know, there's so many deer that I've shot at where I think back on, it's like, did I even look, was I
did
looking
I
through my peep? Like, well,
yeah.
I don't even remember,
yeah.
You know, and again, it's just that muscle memory. So that's why it's important to shoot so much. And,
yeah.
You know, we talked about this with Glenn last week about how, you know, some guys will go out and then they'll shoot their three arrows and they're like, oh, okay, that's within the vitals of a deer, great. And then that's it. The next time they shoot is when they shoot at a deer. And it's like, well, it's really important to continue to practice. I know it's not easy,
yeah.
But I mean, come on, you can shoot in your basement.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, I think what people miss on is you don't have to shoot at like 40, 50, 60,
yeah.
70. It's like, you just have to be at full draw and feel that bow release.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, like if I've had times where like, if I'm not practicing consistently, I'll pick up the release and like the first couple is just like, I get this a little bit of target panic.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, as soon as that happens, it's time to go back to square one, like get to 10 yards, put the pin on the heart and just slowly squeeze it and feel what it's like, you
for
know?
Sure.
And like, imagine you do that first time you have that target panic or that little jitteriness, like
yeah.
That's going to be on an animal, you know, like that's,
yeah,
that's a living animal's life.
Yeah. I think I shoot my bow in my basement in the winter. like I get my heart rate up, like, you know, do things like that. And there's just so much more to it.
I'm gonna step out here to like this other bale that you're shooting at.
Yeah, we can do that one.
Yeah.
I just think there's so much more to it. Like I even this is kind of my saying, but like I even go to the instinctive, like I put Teflon on my arrow tips, you know, so nothing comes loose, right? Like just one of those extra things
yeah.
that you don't have to think about.
Yep.
And I think like this might be a dummy comment, but like the shot anatomy of an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to know if that deer's quartering away according to where that arrow is going. You know, I mean, like the deer I shot last year, you know, I remember a guy's like, oh, a little far back, huh? I was like, no, it wasn't. It was quartering away and it came out in it broke off in the opposite shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Like that's what people don't really understand. They just think like, oh, it's broadside. Well, guarantee you 90% of the time that deer was not broadside.
Yeah.
So where are we going?
I kind of have
when are we shooting?
I'm gonna move the probably that's not a good spot for that. Hang on a second here.
I don't know, it might be a cool shot.
I mean if you wanna
I guess I'm not really worried. Everybody's pretty good shot.
We're gonna do 40 or 45. 45 on the right one? Shoot across.
I think that one's 45.
Yeah, 40.
That one?
This one's 40 and that one's 45.
I can shoot 40 if you guys want to shoot 45.
I'll shoot 40.
Okay, we'll all do 40.
We'll shoot right here. Actually, since I'm on this side, I will actually shoot at that 45.
so we're not crossing.
It'd be kind of cool if we collided arrows.
Yeah. Midair.
So you were talking a little bit about your triax earlier.
Oh yeah. Sidetracked.
So what about your current rig that you got there? Let's talk about that, what you're shooting. And...
yeah. This was Matthews Lift X33. I did all like the Matthews inline stuff. That's all the popular sale items, I should say. Mm-hmm. I literally think I wore that triax out. Like I wore through a cam bearing on it. And my buddy was like, I've never seen a cam bearing ever go. I was like, well, I did it.
It's like having an old truck, you know?
Yeah,
when it's
seriously.
Got the miles on it. It's like a bow.
Trustworthy, it's still okay, but you know. Yeah, I've been meaning to upgrade for a while, but it got to the point where it was kind of not forgiving as much as it was. I mean, it wasn't tight anymore.
Mm.
I actually bought this bow. I've been shooting it really well. I really wanted to try the longer axle because at a 28 draw length, I think you're, I mean, I'm no archery wizard, but I feel like you're kind of in between that short bow to long bow, right? Definitely quicker. I upped my poundage, which is super cool. And then I went down this rabbit hole, speaking of those, one of the boys that got me into archery, he started shooting a recurve. And they both have lifts, and so I was up at the cabin a couple months ago. I was like, bring that thing by. I've been intrigued, like, you know. So that's the story kind of itself, but I started shooting that recurve, and it helped my form. Not saying my form was bad before, I didn't think, but it helped my form so much that now I pick up my compound, and it's just like dart after dart after dart.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Like, and now I'm like, I kind of think like everybody should shoot a recurve just to like help their form, because these bows are so forgiving on different things. And field tips are one thing, but like as soon as you throw broadheads on to that guy that shoots them four arrows every year to get ready, you don't know what you're getting into, because when you put a broadhead on, it's not as forgiving. That was not a great shot.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, and you know, I did the same thing. Like you kind of find a rig that you love, and
yeah,
it's kind of silly to get rid of it.
Super hard to get rid of it, right?
But you know, even though, you know, year after year, the advancements aren't drastic, but when you step up from like a 5-year-old bow, you can actually see the difference in forgiveness. And you know what I mean? Like, so with this one, the lift compared to your triax, it's probably a little bit more forgiving. You said you got a longer axle bow, so that's going to kind of help out with some of that too. And you know, I mean, when it comes to shooting recurve, right? Like, there's little to no forgiveness. I mean,
there's
it's
none.
All about just repetitive,
yep.
You know, and shooting instinctual and all that kind of stuff. And so I can definitely see how that would certainly improve your form and like really force the aim small, miss small aspect of it. And Damon, you know something about that too. You've been shooting recurve.
Yeah, I got a recurve, or I got a, they're called modern longbows, and I mean any traditional guy in the comments, like, quote me if I'm wrong on that, but it's like it's a hybrid between a longbow and a recurve.
Okay.
So it's like longbow style build, but it has a little bit of curve in the limbs, so you gain a little extra speed.
Oh, okay, sure.
And I bought that and practiced with it like a full summer, and it's unreal. How challenging it is.
And, so much.
And like with a compound, it's like the bump between like honestly anywhere from like 20 to 40 yards, like if you shoot pretty consistently,
yeah.
It kind of all kind of feels the same to a degree. But the bump from like 15 yards or like even 12 yards with a recurve to like 25, it almost feels like you're shooting like 100 yards.
It does, man. That extra 3-4 yards is a huge,
oh my gosh,
huge deal.
Wait, man. Really opened up there.
Yeah, it's like, because
I'm only 15 yards.
You really dial in, like 10 to 15 for me, I was pretty dialed in.
Yeah.
And then you go to like 25, and it's like, miss. And it's like,
what happened?
What happened, you know? And for me, you know, and I want to take it hunting, and I did take it in the woods one time on a doe hunt. And I had to practice so much leading up to that.
Yeah.
But now, like, I haven't been practicing with it that much, if at all. So, like, I'm not even thinking about bringing it out. Because to me, you have to, like, if you want to harvest something, mm-hmm. like, you have to be practicing with that thing, like, every day.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between a compound. Is like, you can go a few days without shooting your compound and, like, and still have it, you know?
Right.
But with a longbow, it's a challenge.
And I think there's a big thing on the longbow, or just in general. Like, I haven't shot a dotted target in a long time. Like,
yeah.
I kind of switched midsummer and I just shoot my 3D targets.
Yeah.
But yeah, the longbow is in the recurve. I was like, I'm gonna just try this and like see how it goes. And then like, I was instantly felt kind of comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And started shooting it instinctively, and which is cool. But yeah, I've been literally trying to put 15, 20 arrows every day, no matter what, if I have quick time. So I'll be latching down still.
Yeah, dude. But
my goal is to have, you know, do a doe hunt early season with it. You know, quite quarters, 10, 15 yards.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting close to my goal is, you know, I want to shoot at least 90% when I shoot in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the other day I did 14 out of 15 kill zone shot, you know, and or they did like 10 out of 12. So it's coming along, but it's a little process.
Yeah, I've got like 3 recurves, a longbow, and I shoot them, but I just never had just never felt comfortable enough to take it out hunting. And then
right.
I figure, I mean, at some point, you know, I don't have enough 140-inch whitetails on the wall with a compound bow yet.
Yeah, I know.
So once I get that, then I'm going to step it up to, you know, the longbow or recurve. And when I do that, I'm going all in, right? Like, compound bow is getting put away, and I probably won't shoot it for a while. But
yeah, I'm not ready to make that jump. I still thoroughly enjoy shooting my compound. I think I always will.
I feel like you can get pretty efficient with a longbow / recurve if you shoot a lot, right?
Yep.
But like, for me, like, the more I've gotten busy and life has gotten a little hectic, you know, recently, it's, you know, I get maybe 4 to 5 day window out of the year where I can spend time to fill my tag. And honestly, like, the confidence is way higher with a compound to fill that tag.
Oh, right.
So that's just where I'm at right now. But I'd like to get out and shoot a doe for sure with it. But it's like one of those things that, like, you can't just pick it up and like go even just shoot a doe with it. Like, it's not something that is that as easy as it sounds, you know? My shots aren't feeling too bad today.
I think that's, I was gonna bring that up too. When you're shooting, don't be like discouraged if you have an off day.
Sure.
I mean, I do love shooting the bow. I love hanging out with my buddies. Like, or even if you're shooting your arrows in the morning and it's just like kind of not your day. You're not, sounds bad, but like, you're not quarter size, you're baseball size that morning, or softball size. You're like, just do your thing. Try to be the best you can. And
yeah.
Try another day.
And I made this mistake last week too. Don't always assume it's your equipment.
Lighting, your environment, all kinds of things can change your point of impact. And it's good to be mindful of those things, right? Like, I got real quick to make an adjustment to my sight because I had changed something on my rest, assuming that was the problem. But when I made the adjustment to my sight, and then now I'm hitting the other side. So it's like, shouldn't have even touched anything. Just let it go to shoot. If it's grouping well for now, just, you know, then it's good. You know, that you're shooting well.
Yep.
And then at that point, okay, now it is something with maybe not the equipment, but again, just your lighting or your, you know, if you go from indoor to outdoor,
that's a huge difference.
That will change things, you know. So, and you always want to practice when you start getting closer to the hunting season, you always want to practice as much as you possibly can in the environment you're going to be hunting in.
Correct.
Like it's not easy to do, like if you're going to go west, but at least outside anyway. Mm-hmm. And like in this situation, we got the sun in our eyes, which is a very common situation that you can't control.
Sure.
Oftentimes, and so it's good to get that practice in, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
Something I've learned too is, in the couple of Western hunts I've done, don't shoot too much at camp. Because you start, like, I've gotten to camp and, like, first couple arrows are, like, good, you know? But they're, like, not perfect just from, you know, travel or not shooting, you know, since before the trip. And then you start tweaking with stuff. Then all of a sudden it starts to get worse, and then your confidence starts going down. So I feel like that's something I've, like, experienced is that you, like, get to camp and then you start overthinking when you just need to like shoot to verify, and then
because you're already out of your element.
Yeah,
you already went on the road for how many hours, right?
Like, yeah,
doing the thing. So it's I just think it comes down to like what we started this conversation with 15 minutes ago. Like there's so many factors that make the shot or make the experience or make your hunting like how you said it, your hunt. Like there's a lot of decisions to be made.
Oh yeah.
That can steer it left or right. And then there's definitely how many branches of left or right after that. So
you can go down a rabbit hole, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm gonna extend my range again.
Okay.
The old
let's keep doing it.
Yeah.
That was the old tagline for what the heck is that bow company?
I'm good for some far ones. What is that? That's only 60. We can even do longer.
Let's see, what do we got? I'll just put that there.
This must be 50 here, huh?
We definitely have to drop some bombs at some point.
Yeah, we
50,
will.
That's good.
50, yeah, that's good.
That's good.
And, you know, a lot of people, like, coming to this range, I should have come here, you know, it's a season, come in, like, once every couple weeks. And for the people that don't understand, like you're shooting at the same target every day, same atmosphere, like this is a totally different atmosphere.
Yeah,
the guy not shoot as well sometimes. Or
oh yeah.
Yeah,
I swear every podcast I'm drinking one of these, dude. It might just be that I drink one every day.
Good chance. Sugar free Red Bull's my death.
Which flavor?
Sugar free standard, man.
Just like the OG.
Normal 8-ouncer. I only do it on show days, like band show days. Like,
I have a question revolving like musical stuff.
Yeah.
Your voice.
Yeah.
How do you like maintain your voice? Like, do you have like exercises? Is there things you can't drink before the show? Like, is there, you know?
I try not to do dairy show day of. I drink a lot of water. Like, I drink a lot of water in general, but a lot of water on the show day. And then, I mean, you have to learn how to sing right. And that's how to project your air and how to project your voice. Like, talking is the worst thing, right? Because you kind of talk nasally with your, like, a wide voice.
Mm-hmm.
But in singing is you want, like, a long voice. Like, up and down.
Okay.
Right? So yeah, there's a lot to it. There's days where you know when you can push it, when you can't, and then there's days when you just don't talk a lot. But when I first started 15 years ago, there's no way I could sing more than 2 days in a row.
Really?
So my stretch is 5. Like, I can do 5 days, but by the end of the day, 5, I'm tired, right? It's just like a muscle. It doesn't hurt. It's just, it's tired.
Sore.
Yep.
Yeah, that last show you played, I'm trying to think of where it was now, Tommy was telling me, but we had a birthday party for my daughter last Sunday.
Oh, yeah, Rockwoods.
Tommy, yeah, Rockwoods. And I was like, oh, he told me about it, and I was like, oh, dang it, I'm not, no chance I can get there, you know, with the party we had. So but one of these days, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to be there.
Some of my best friends have not seen a show.
Do you play at Rockwoods?
Yeah, I just do an acoustic thing there every now and then.
My girlfriend works at Rockwoods.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Small world, man.
You should ask her if she's working 2 Sundays ago, not last Sunday.
She does work Sundays.
Probably then. I have to ask her.
I will. Yeah, she works there. She works there quite often, on and off, through like photography, but she just started school today. Today was her first day of school.
Oh, really?
So she probably won't be working as much now, but she loves working like Bonfire Wednesdays with the music.
Yeah, I don't get to those. I used to go to those years and years ago.
I feel like Tommy was saying, I'm telling that she should try to get in on those Wednesdays.
Yeah, man, I mean, just like anything.
They're really busy is what I've heard.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people.
I haven't got their certificate to be nice yet, to get sworn into the Wednesdays, I guess. I guess I have to prove my worth,
really?
I guess. I don't know.
Or maybe someone's got to back out or something. They got a consistent lineup.
Honestly, I try to keep a level head about all this stuff.
Right.
It does matter that you've been doing it for how many years, but also, like, it doesn't matter to somebody that doesn't know you, right?
Yeah.
So just play the game. You can decide if it's for you or not.
Right, yeah.
So. Yeah, we got kind of this week. I only got one show this week, and then kind of took the Labor Day weekend off, which I'm not a big fan of, honestly. Like, to go to our cabin or do people things on a holiday weekend is not my jam at all.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to, like, doing people things on Monday, Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
So, our family cabin is pretty secluded, so we don't run into a whole lot of tourist thing kind of things. But then we got a pretty good September, but a lot of big band shows. So, pretty excited about that.
Well, that's some good shooting, you guys. I mean, we could be... I don't think we've had one major flyer yet.
Not yet.
Like, I feel like almost every arrow we've shot is going to be a dead deer. Yeah, knock on
wood. Pretty good.
Knock on whatever that is.
I mean, five, six inch radius there at 50, you know?
I'm pretty happy with my sight tape. I got it with Hollywood the other day at Old Rapids.
Yeah.
And me and him shot till dark. And... like old Hollywood, I hope he's listening to this. He was tweaking the whole time. He'd shoot 80 and hit that, and he's like, might have to mess with my fletchings again. I'm like, dude, what are you doing, bro?
One of those guys that just...
He's a fine tuner, you know. Hollywood is like a... When it's good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Never satisfied, which is a good...
It is good. It's very good.
My brother's that way when we ride motocross, like... put me on my bike, set my sag, like, I'll doubt, like, levers, whatever. He's adjusting his levers, turning his clicks, and I'm like, bro, just stop. Ride the thing.
But he was shooting good, and he got a sight tape. Hollywood did. I believe he did. And we both were sighting in our 3-pin proofs. And
I'm going to step it back one more now.
Let's step it back.
Yeah.
So are these are 3-pins then?
Oh,
yeah, they are.
Ricky's is 3 vertical, and mine's 3 horizontal.
That's a big thing now.
Yeah, so he's got the 3.
Yeah, gentlemen. We gotta do some bombs.
The 3 vertical, and then mine's like this.
Like, oh yeah. We're gonna get there, okay.
We're getting there, apparently.
All right.
Sorry, but I'm not used to shooting
3H.
And it's different, man. Like, what are you shooting? Are you shooting
a single pin? A single pin,
And I've shot that my whole... I've shot a single pin my whole life, so now looking at 3 pins, it's a little different.
Yeah.
But
a robot.
My only tag this year is a whitetail tag, and I really like being able to just be able to shoot 20 to, like, 45 without even having to move it.
Right.
But...
yeah. I learned to shoot a single pin 10 years ago, and I just don't like any clutter. I don't like any other dots. And then I am a firm believer of... once again, shooting your bow more and more and more is like set it at 30 and know where you have to shoot at 20 and 40.
For sure.
Like do the research, do the work.
60.
Stretching her out here, 60.
Good shot, man. I mean, both of them are just a little hair high, but yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, kind of consistently just a little bit high today. Ooh, it's me or like Ricky says, make an adjustment today.
Yeah, I've been hitting like a little bit to the left. I don't even shoot into the sunlight like
way
this.
Low.
Again. Be a dead deer either way.
Yeah.
So what do you got for, I think we kind of touched on it briefly earlier, but do you have any Western hunts planned this year?
Me, no. Yeah. Don't think it's going to be an option as far as I was even going to try to go out and hunt with some couple guys, but I kind of made the decision not to go back in June or May. So kind of filled my calendar with my with my life and shows and stuff, so.
You got a baby along the way?
I do, yeah, September 30th.
That's awesome. So, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely excited, definitely ready for that. And I got a, I drew that Kansas whitetail tag, so kind of doing that rather than the Western hunt. So it'll be my first year in 6 years staying home, and it's going to be kind of weird to be actually a part of the Minnesota fall, right? Rather mm-hmm. than return home and everything be different colors.
Right.
I am kind of bummed though. I mean, my buddy called me last week and he's like, dude, it's going to be like a high of 58 like all week on the opener, it says. I'm like, oh. Like every year elk hunting is always 80 degrees, right? Like,
yep.
So I'm like, gosh, the 1 year I don't go. But if something gets mismatched the first week, I'm buying a plane ticket and going out there to hike along with those guys.
There you go.
Be the guy that shows up on the plane with all my gear on.
Okay, good shot.
A little high again. Yeah, I wish, but you know, I'm kind of relieved that I'm not going, but also I'm more missing it. Because you guys know, I mean, it literally kicks the living crap out of you mentally and physically.
Oh yeah.
I mean, as much as you do love it, or us guys like us do love it, it's so I'm kind of putting more of my effort into the whitetail stuff than I normally do. I might get to go bear hunting for the first time, but that's gonna be like a, honestly, it's gonna be a, hey, this guy canceled or whatever, like can you make it tomorrow on Tuesday?
Yeah.
So that's gonna be the extent of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, excited to kind of be around home, honestly, for the fall in September.
Yeah, it's good. And it, you know, the thing is too, is like, I hear you, and good for you, you know, for kind of just openly making that decision as well. You know, you're going to be a dad, so.
Probably should stay home.
It's going to be around for all of that. And
yeah.
There's also, like right now, I'm starting to get, you know, the nervous twitches because I got to start getting all my gear out and going through my gear and getting it organized, which is fun. The problem is, if you saw my garage right now,
Bill,
I've got
nervous.
A solid day of organizing and cleaning before I can even start staging out my hunting equipment. So it's like, all right, well, here we go.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's the fun part about it, though. I mean, the hunting's one part, but camaraderie and everything is.
Oh yeah. Part,
in my eyes, like packing the gear and getting your stuff ready. And I found like having a couple totes of that stuff, right? Like literally have an elk hunting tote.
Yeah.
Literally have a whitetail tote. And you have your butchering tote, like all the above. It's all there. So it's like to make the small critiques. I'm a maintenance man too, so
yeah.
I'm kind of not wired like everybody else, but I'm probably too involved in keeping everything in order and maintained and ready to go. So
yeah.
The guy you make fun of when you show up in the whitetail woods and I got a backpack full of stuff. I can do everything I need.
Yeah.
Unless I forget my car keys.
Yep.
My big thing is backpacks. I'm a backpack nerd.
Yeah.
And I've never found one that's like perfect. So like I have my hunting backpack, like my mule deer. I literally have a mule deer backpack. I have an elk backpack. I have a whitetail backpack for hunting. And then I have a whitetail backpack for filming. And then I have a cross between for both. And then
excessive, but I like it.
But it hunting backpacks aren't designed to carry camera gear.
They're not.
So finding one that can hold it and like have trust in it, yeah. It's hard to find, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like
you have an excuse.
Yeah, so like my go-to this year is gonna be the Ranger pack by Latitude.
Okay.
I'm stoked on that. They have three different sizes, so I'm gonna try that out for filming and hunting. But then for like elk, mule deer, it's the Mystery Ranch Metcalf. And I'll take lenses and cameras and wrap them in blankets or t-shirts and then put it in there. Oh, that was synchronized.
Where are those? Oh. I feel like they're both in the black.
I think mine was a little bit to the left.
Ricky's is a little low left, yours is a little high right, but pretty good.
I can make an adjustment eventually.
What's your favorite broadhead?
My favorite broadhead?
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed to say this after I take this shot.
You just smacked my first arrow.
I've killed so many dang deer with a Rage. Always flew well, never failed me. I know that's like kind of cringe in some people's eyes, but I just can't get away from it. Like, it does the job every time we need to do it.
Which Rage, the hypodermic or?
Yeah, two blade. One with the spring collars on them.
Yep.
They don't stay together very well. I mean, like they say they're one and done in my eyes, right? But like some of them are like I've had some problems with the spring, stuff like that. I did switch to a Kudu
fixed. Okay.
And I am on the verge of just shooting those 100%
for everything.
Like they are so sharp, they fly incredible. And they don't, I mean, any mechanical broadhead takes so much force out of that shot, right? And I feel like you missed the big hole, but also like that arrow's gonna go through anything. So I feel like that's a big rabbit hole to get down.
Yeah, no, but I would never shame anybody for their choice. You know, it's, I think one of the things with Rage is it kind of gets a little bit of a bad rap simply because they were one of the first.
Yep.
And so
the target in the back.
Trying to, like, I haven't seen any issues with, heard anything bad about them in recent years. I mean, I have had some people say, oh, I lost an elk or this or that, but I'm level-headed enough to know that I think it's more often shot placement that is a contributor to not finding that deer.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the actual broadhead that you're using. And
the quick blame.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's a common excuse for people, and obviously I think the percentage of animals that have been harvested with that broadhead as opposed to ones that have been lost is probably not even, so it's one of those things where I just like to know, because, well, our listeners, you know what I mean, for them, they like to hear like who shoots this and what, and I think it's important for people to know that it's not so much about which one is going to be the most effective. Again, it's going back to what we talked about earlier with practice, mm-hmm. and all
you
that.
You hit a deer in the heart and it's dead.
people don't even realize, like, you wouldn't you'd be shocked when you find out how many people, when you ask them like, have you practiced with your broadheads, and they're like, they give you a dumb look. Like,
I know.
What? And you're like, okay. And again, I'm not trying to shame anybody. This is all educational, and the reason I'm saying this,
yeah,
and I will beat this in the ground until the day I die, is that you have got to shoot those broadheads.
Absolutely.
Make sure they're flying good. If you don't have a practice one,
make yourself a sacrificial point, you know?
Yeah.
That becomes your practice.
Because you'd be amazed what broadhead you screw on. I mean, I've tried. You almost have to go through the love-hate process of, you might have to spend a couple $100 and find what broadheads work for your bow.
Yeah.
Shoot it, like, and to the guy that shoots, like you said, your four arrows, I bring my bow in the shop, spring and fall, shoot through paper, even though if you're shooting good, you know, get it figured out so you can be a successful hunter and not, like I said, not blame that broadhead. Or, like I said, put Teflon on your arrow tips before you put them in so you don't have a loose head. Is your mechanical broadhead all the way cinched back? Is it not?
Look at that guy. Like, point that at, look at that arrow. Yeah. I mean, that guy didn't practice his broadheads, right? What happened? He was shooting at 30 yards. And his arrow came over here and hit the 60-yard
rail. That guy definitely shoots rage. I'm just kidding.
What?
No. I'm just giving you crap.
No, I
hopefully think BA is listening to this.
I think there's it's almost overwhelming how many broadheads are out there now. What ones do you choose, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this new, like, I'm going to see the reference that Bomar guy, whatever, the Beast broadhead thing. I'm like, holy fuck, it's like $80 for three broadheads? I'm like, oh my God. Like, and honestly, like, do they shoot better in a rage? Are they better? I don't know, you know? And then all these, YouTube is like such an awesome, I watch a lot of YouTube. YouTube's such an awesome thing.
Oh yeah.
But it's also like what Joe Blow's doing a review and like, what do they know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do what works for you. And I think that's why I like, I've always stuck to that. I did shoot my elk with that Kudu and it went from frontal all the way out. The
back end?
Quarter.
That's nuts. On an elk, too.
Should we step it back here?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yep.
Guess we gotta
hop the fence.
Get over the fence here.
This is probably where you're gonna see Damon fall apart.
Well, it's all right.
Now that your shoulder's sore, I'm gonna get one of those.
This is good that I'm out here. I haven't shot past like 50 in a while. Back.
I'm glad you said that too. I was thinking about that earlier, Mitch, because I usually like to start at distance first, because then you're fresh.
I bring it in.
But let's see, you
get us the yard. 78 right here.
So 80's probably like right here.
One, two, yeah. I shoot like kind of all over my yard, and it's fun when you go at longer distances and. I try to shoot under trees, through trees, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, the arc of that 80, 70, right?
Yeah. Well, and then how much your pin moves. All of a sudden you're like, how much it covers up your target.
Yeah.
Whoa. You go from shooting at a small dot to now you're just like, okay, I'm just gonna aim for the center of the bale. Whew, nice.
I wish I would have brought my binos and not left them in my side by side.
Ooh. Way low, wasn't it?
Plywood there, my friend.
What did I say?
This is where you fall apart.
This is where I fall apart.
The follow through is so important farther to shot it, you know?
I really would like to hope that's me. It probably is.
A little left.
Yeah. Nice shot. Just a little bit high.
A little bit high.
Like,
story of my life today.
Started out with a gummy and you're
Unfortunately, no. I don't do that stuff. I had my first cousin's wedding on Saturday and we're like bros, like, you know, grew up hunting together, doing the whole thing. I must have not drank enough because I still wanted a whiskey yesterday, so I didn't do a good enough job, which I was happy about that.
Old man stuff.
Yeah.
That's another thing we should talk about too. If y'all get a chance, head over and we'll link to Mitch's page.
Yeah.
And this is not to take away from the musical talent that comes from the Mitch Gordon Band.
But he does have some pretty funny content out there about old man stuff.
Depending who you're asking, if it's funny or not.
Sure, I suppose. Nice shot.
You just shot my vein.
I can identify with the old man stuff. Guys like me are old man targets.
Your arrow's like poking my vein into the target.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet. It'd be better if it was my own vein, but
I'm an old man at heart.
That was good.
There's nothing wrong with
very
that, right?
Good.
You got an old soul, right? So you're
well-rounded. All those things that get yelled at as a kid, they all kind of start to make sense. It's true, though.
It is. I saw a meme the other day, and it was like, it said, me as a teenager, why are adults so angry? And then it says, me as an adult, oh.
Does anybody else get dumber when they see memes? I have a buddy that sends me memes every day. I don't even open them hardly. He's like, dude, come on. I was like, no, I literally get dumber. I look at your memes.
Yeah, my buddy Frank, I love him to death, but he sends me so many a day that I can't even keep up.
Right. And then you get that random meme from that one person that you haven't talked to in a while, and you're like, oh, they're actually thinking of me.
They're still alive.
That's my buddy Nate.
I feel like I shot better at 80 than I did 60 and 55.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. More of a calm, like.
I had two. At the way bottom.
Yeah. And you got her up?
I think it's my, I haven't shot at distance. And I think I'm using that center pin as I'm like trying to aim. And I think I'm focusing too much on figuring out how I'm aiming versus pulling through.
Yeah.
So I was doing the.
I feel like my form is a B+ today. Like I know it's a B plus, and I can't like really correct it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's
what do we got here?
This is good.
This is the first.
You literally took your vein off.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm sorry, dude.
No, you're good.
An old guy?
Yeah, I do. They're Vapor Trail veins. I know a guy.
Oh, but your wrap, did you get extra dial wraps?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Daryl's got him in the Daryl's got me hooked up.
I asked Taylor, I was like, what material are you guys using? Because the material they're using for the wraps is better than what we're currently using.
First year I haven't had wraps in years.
I've never been a big wrap guy, but when these companies come out with stuff like that cool with a stuff, buck on it, it's like it's hard not to.
I know.
It's very hard not to.
Just keep your arrows.
Can you sign it?
You keep your junk arrows?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a hoarder.
I have a whole, like, base full of iron.
I have a, you know those Yeti buckets?
Yeah.
I have one of those just filled to the brim.
You're way.
That's bougie.
Well, and then when I, no, but then when I need the Yeti bucket, then I have to pull all the arrows out. It's kind of a bad system.
You need a different bucket.
Yeah, well, I have.
Home Depot sells them for, like, $5.
Yeah. I have a Home Depot bucket too, filled with sand for weighing down sea stands.
I used to do that. I'd grab the 5-gallon bucket at Home Depot and then fill it with all my stuff, and then you get to the counter and they're like, "Where do you want the bucket?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Actually, I should do that every time I go to Menards and have just 10 buckets.
And they'd be gone. Dad would steal them.
Buckets are extremely useful.
They are.
Hey, old man stuff. You're an old man. When you go hunting, you don't bring a chair, like a tripod chair. You just bring a bucket.
Oh, yeah.
To sit on, right?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then the person that's carrying the bucket, if you're out with somebody, hits every damn branch in the woods. Drives me insane. Old man stuff.
I feel like maybe this has happened to you before.
It has.
My neighbor shot my shooter buck off of a bucket.
How'd that make you feel? You happy?
Honestly, no,
here's a good question.
Honestly, mad respect.
Yeah.
And he shot with a crossbow too.
Okay.
which is like kind of.
But how old is he?
He's like 50, 60.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Hammer down.
Yeah, approved. He's probably wearing like a flannel.
Approved.
Yeah.
There was a guy Ducks, that.
The box scored 207.
Oh.
You have a picture of that box.
Dang.
Yeah, that was a big one.
I wonder if it, was it, where was it at? Oh, West?
Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
They always like to get shot off buckets by crossbow guys.
I think that's awesome. Crossbow thing is a whole nother we're not going to get into. But I think it's awesome when a guy shoots. Like, if my neighbor shoots a buck that I have on camera, like, 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh, man. But, like, I'm so excited for the person,
yeah.
Right? Like,
The first thing I say is, can I see it?
Yeah, can I put my hands on it? Right?
Yeah.
Can I help track it? Can I do this? Like, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a cool respect thing. And I think that's what a lot of people do have to get over as far as the whole hunting harvesting thing.
Yeah. People need to get over the my deer syndrome.
Oh, my God. If I hear one more, oh, yeah.
And I say that as, like, that I was that guy for a long time.
I think everybody was.
Like, this is my deer. My neighbor shot my deer.
One more time. All right. And then in.
You know, a neighbor shot my deer, blah, blah, blah. And, dude, it's like, once you, like, actually think about what you're doing and what you're saying regarding that, it's like you're going the opposite direction in what you want.
Yeah.
You know, for the hunting community.
Yeah.
As far as, like, no, you should be, if it's ethically killed.
Farther?
Yeah, we can. Let's do it.
You know what I mean?
Ethically, yeah.
Like, what do you think? You got a 100-yard pin?
I think so.
If it's ethically killed, then it's like, to me, it's still a win, you know?
I absolutely.
Especially if it's a, you know, a 200 class deer, it's mad respect.
All right, this will probably be our last one because battery is dying.
96. Let's just do 95. Sounds great.
So before we depart, we should probably talk about your new single.
Garage Beers.
Garage Beers.
I forget this podcast is supposed to be about me.
Yep. Mostly, yes.
Yeah, it's a new single we've been pushing since June. It's called Garage Beers. It's about middle-aged men drinking beer in a cul-de-sac. And we talk about mowing the grass and shoveling the snow, old man stuff. And we even talk about guys that drive electric cars and drink PBRs.
I love it.
Wear hats like you, Damon.
Wear hats like me?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's slowly growing. As being totally independent, it takes time for it to grow. But all it takes is one good algorithm. And that's what we're waiting on. We got Garage Beers merch, by the way. You can check it out. Selfless plug on the website. Got those 1997 like cream color hats that are back in.
Do you have like a rope hat?
We have a rope hat. Yep. I have some in my car actually. But yeah, the whole 1997 look is back, so we went back to that. It's going well. It's a Western swing vibe. Very cool. Man, that's a long poke.
Yes, it is.
I can't even see my arrow.
I'm ending so much on that one.
Where is that? Where can you see mine at all?
Your guys both are high.
Until it gets to the target. And
yeah, I can't see anything.
They're both high by probably a foot.
Really?
Just under. Hi, Rick. Right in there.
No way.
Right next to mine.
Woo! Shoo, buddy.
Hi.
Now you can check it out on all platforms. If you drink beer or drink, you probably have drank beer in a shop before. And like me, if somebody randomly shows up at my house, it's an excuse to have a beer. I thought you were ending on that one.
I flinched on that one bad. I should have.
What'd you say, Ricky?
Can you get eyes on this one, Damon? Looked left.
High left.
Do one more, Ricky. We'll get a video of you.
Yeah, I was like, I brought my all-in and everything too. I was like, oh, I should get that all set up, but I don't have the, of course, I don't have the tripod adapter too. Which I'm sure, Damon, you probably have one, but that takes time to set up, and it's about Mitch.
Right in there. Just a hair right.
Good feeling. And you can hit a pie plate at 95. Like, that's a solid day.
It is a pretty good feeling. I've thought about that with rifles too, where, like, I could get into the long distance thing, I think.
With a rifle?
Yeah.
Never went down that rabbit hole or thought about it.
But I don't have... I should probably buy a car before I spend that kind of money on it.
A little left, but height is pretty good.
Okay. Got one more good one.
All right, here we go. Meat missile coming in hot.
Nice. That's shot. The one you want to end on.
Dude. You
good? Yeah. Like maybe, woo, maybe like a inch high, but.
Yeah. You're touching black. He's talking an inch high from center.
Holy yeah. Good gosh. I told you, man. Everybody should shoot a recurve. No way I can do that with my elbow. I love this thing. Yeah, I got a shot of a broadhead. I'm freaking ready to go, man.
That's good to hear.
I got my early spots planned out. My spots I'm not gonna touch. I get the
use trail cameras? Out.
I do. I don't put many out literally until like September.
Okay.
I just, the deer that are not going to be there, most likely the ones you saw in August and whatnot. So, I mean, it, with an exception of a few of them, but instead of burning batteries, I wait.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going to pick up a few more and box them up. And I got to send them a couple I was supposed to go to Kansas. Today and bring some cameras down there, but I called my buddy. I was like, I'm gonna put these ready in a box and you can put them up for me.
Oh, I thought for sure you're gonna say, man, I got my shoot bow with my buddies Rick and Damon. I can't make it down.
Well, we're not that cool, Ricky.
Yeah, no, I don't touching the rabbit hole of a trail camera like thing. Don't just, like, my only advice is, like, don't be the guy that relies on the cameras. It's so impossible.
Yeah.
If you really, want to hunt that land, you know there's a good deer, or a possible of a good deer showing up, like, just do it. Right?
Pull the bad one out.
Yeah, wait to walk up until Damon's always flies.
Yeah. Who invited him?
All right, guys, really good group at 100.
That is a solid group.
95-er.
Yeah, you go.
Such a good group, guys.
Yeah, we all have a couple good ones.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
You know when a shot breaks and you're like, yeah, that's going in there, but I don't deserve it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this one was for me.
Because it didn't feel right?
I punched it, I flinched.
You deserve it,
Damon. No, I don't.
Imposter syndrome away.
No, I flinched hard. Flinched very hard. Target panic is real, boys. For me, like... I have to, like 20 to 50, I'm good. But then 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, it's just like, this is what my thumb's doing as I'm at full draw. It's
mental.
Oh, it's so mental.
Yeah.
And that's back to the practice thing of like, you gotta practice. Cause mm-hmm. I haven't practiced in probably a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And I know if I came out here and just blank bailed at like 15 or 10 and just like repped it out, mm-hmm. that I could get back to like,
I think it's all about making it part of your day. I mean, 100%. There's days where you can't do it. Like, there's days where, like, honestly, shame on me, but like, the last 2 days I haven't picked up a bow. I literally did not have time. But if you make it part of your day, like working out or anything, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's part of your day.
It's like brushing your teeth.
Seriously. The more busy you are, the better you stay focused, right? The better you do.
Yeah, good shooting, guys. This is
fun.
This has been a blast. This is a cool little range. I like how they go out, you know, 5-yard increments.
Right? Yeah.
And then if you need to,
like you said, we're out 100 yards. That's awesome.
Thank you for showing us this, because the ranges that I've been going to is Rapid, which is 40 minutes away.
Oh, yeah.
And then the one Elk River only goes to 40.
Oh, really?
Okay. And that's 25-minute drive.
I think there's one in Clearwater, too.
I've never...
Outside of Clearwater.
Never been.
Maybe
to
we'll
that
have
one,
to pick that one up one of these days.
I've always wanted to go.
But dude, this one's like 12 minutes, like from my place. Oh, or no, no, it's like 22. Yeah.
The west side of Big Lake. Then.
No, it's 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Still trying to work Tommy, but he was telling me a story on Sunday about how he got called out at the Renaissance Festival and had to go up on stage.
Oh, really?
And Corey was just like, oh, he was shaking.
That
he
made
so
him pucker
nervous.
A little bit, huh? To the guy that literally showed up to my show, met me, and then the next time he showed up to my show, brought me a thing of deer piss, a box of deer piss.
He's like, a piss guy.
Sure, man. Is shy.
Was his last name Woodcomb?
Nope, his name was, nope, yeah. Yeah. Old Tommy Carroll at Wildlife Research.
Carroll guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And I did write deer pee all day.
I did write him last year. I'm like, hey, you got any stuff you need to give away? I was like, I'm that guy right now, sorry.
Yeah, no, he loved Tommy. He's awesome. He's been taking care of us for the better part of probably 20 years.
Yeah.
I would say.
Do you guys do a lot of like, how far do you get into it, right? I mean, do you do a lot of scrape lines this time of year? Do you start doing that already?
I haven't been able to really get into it heavy because I haven't had private ground that I can hunt for a while. And so I used to have like some small chunks that I could hunt, but they didn't often produce a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of get to the point where you're like, okay, I want to try to focus my attention on other things. So I did metro hunts for a long time.
Okay.
And in those, you get what you get,
right?
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what the wind is that day, you're going sitting, you know? But I've had a lot of success on those hunts. But it is a ton of fun. Like I think scrape lines right now, I don't know. It's hard for me to really speak to that.
How I do it is I'll set them up.
I imagine they'll be starting to do that kind of stuff at this point.
I set them up so like I'll have, like I go to a Tractor Supply and they have those cedar posts and they're like $10. You know, you can get them at Fleet Farm, they're $10. And I'll buy like a $5 bag of quick concrete and I'll go and I like setting them up, of course, like right, you know, in between a stand or a pinch point or something. And I'll take a post hole digger, dig down probably 2-3 feet. Then I'll put that cedar post down there and pour some quick concrete in there and then top it off with dirt. And then that post, I'll take a screw gun and I'll screw like, I'm essentially making my own tree, but it's like right in the middle of the trail, right in front of my stand. And the deer, like as they're coming through that cedar post, they'll like, they can go up and they'll rub the cedar. And then they'll hit that scrape too. But I'll like set it up. And then once I start seeing them hit like natural scrapes, then I'll go and freshen up those ones by just like I'll self-urinate it.
Yeah, I'm like, a self-urinator too.
Yeah, like I've self-urinated and the next day I've had a shooter like hitting it.
What about if you drink coffee that morning?
Hopefully they like iced vanilla lattes.
Seems they really dig the monster.
Yeah, it must be the acid in it that just really gets them going. But, I mean, I like having scrapes set up so you don't have to go and make them, but seeing them hit it, I don't really see them hit it until, like, October.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What's your take on the whole scrape line thing, like, in October, like late October? Is it over?
No.
I think they hit scrapes from early October to late November.
Okay, so here's another one. Do you hunt scrape line, or is it a night thing?
Do I hunt the scrape line,
or do they? They only hit them during the night.
Oh, I hunt the scrape line.
Yeah.
I've shot deer going to the scrape.
Yeah, I was wondering. Like,
yeah,
I was bouncing off people.
But yeah. it's so property to property.
It is.
Like I've set up scrapes on other chunks where it's like, nothing. Why do I even do this? Mm-hmm. Like they look at it and they're like,
and
they
walk.
Yeah.
The rut in Wisconsin and the rut in Maple Lake and the rut in Park Rapids is three different things.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. At three different times.
Just probably. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I appreciate, if the Wisconsin DNR is watching this, I appreciate the seasons we have.
Yes.
I can hunt pretty much the entire rut before any guy with a gun is out hunting.
Yeah. Much as I would love Minnesota to push their season back to December 1st.
Oh. That's a whole other conversation. I have November, I have pretty much Halloween or September, whatever, but I start hunting mid-October. Yeah. I have mid-October to November. I think their season starts the 25th.
Sure. Yeah.
So you have more than a month to hunt the rut and fill your buck tag with a bow.
And we sound like big buck killers, but honestly, I love killing animals and I love butchering. I love the whole process.
Oh, dude, right? Yeah.
And last year I shot 3 does and an elk and it my meat's been gone since June. And
really?
Don't get me wrong, I'll shoot a doe if I get a great opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
A good, clean shot, make it count. That's the best. Get does out of the way and then.
Oh, yeah.
Just for herd health too,
right?
You got to do it. The buck to doe ratio in this state is outrageous. I don't know if it's the same, but at one point it was the DNR was saying it was 10. you need to start getting
audio's blown out on that for sure.
It's good, definitely. Especially if you're on private ground too, and have the ability to manage it.
Yeah,
kind of get tabs on how many deer are up there and all that kind of stuff. And it's good. But there are some instances too where I'm just holy cow, why do we have an intensive harvest season in that area for 5 years straight? There are going to be deer left.
Mm-hmm.
Around here in general, it was 3 deer for the last how many years? And I'm there's not a, if it's an intensive harvest, I should be able to shoot a deer 1 out of the 5 sits for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's not that way.
Yeah.
So. That's all.
And it's so area to area too. Cause I hunt Elk River. I have a spot in Elk River I hunt and you can kill 5 in a sit. Yep. If they do it right. I filled both my doe tags in one sit. That's where you shoot one, they run off and then another one comes in. It's that neighborhood stuff, dude. They it's unreal. But then you said, you go 5 miles this way or 10 miles this way and it's zero. Where are they?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah. All right, we're running out of battery life. Oh. So, but that doesn't mean the party's over. We'll just cut the cameras and hang out. But thanks again, Mitch.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm going to come see you.
It's good shooting with you, man.
Absolutely.
Likewise.
Yeah, good shooting with you.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. I think this is the first time I've ever actually just shot with you.
Yeah,
without probably. You having
we
a
always
camera,
shoot so it's photo.
Been, it's been nice. It's awesome. I appreciate that.
Funny to hang.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks again. Thanks for watching, everybody. We appreciate you, everything you do. Make sure you can check out the video version of this on the Vapor Trail YouTube channel. So make sure you head on over there, give us a like, subscribe, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. If you're listening, make sure you give us a rating and a review. Only 5 stars will do. And with that,
ding, 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 ding.
We're gonna pack up our bows and go to work.
Yeah, dude. Also, my Venmo GoFundMe will be in the link to afford new veins after Ricky just shred mine.
At 95.
Game over. Have a great day, everybody.
You bet.
Vapor Trail is now offering an exclusive discount to the Range Podcast listeners. Enter promo code TRP15, that's TRP15, at checkout for 15% off VTX bowstrings and Vapor Trail and Stokerize branded t-shirts, hats, and other gear.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as 3 suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/N365Copilot.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.